Well, they're going to announce the Cooperstown election results today. I don't think I'm in.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Fans, hello baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I am your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. If you don't believe me, look at my lower third, where I get to call myself Sully. I am a podcaster who has been here for in the Locked On Podcast Network. This is not my sixth season. I've been podcasting for well over a decade now. I've done a lot of things in my life. I've been a television producer, been a magazine writer, directed an indie feature film. I'm a special education teacher, all these different things. But you know me as your pal Sully, talking to you about baseball in your earbuds and now in front of you. So make sure to subscribe as I scratch my nose. It's early in the morning. I'm doing this on the 23rd day of January 2024. I just watched the Oscar nominations. The Oscars are a huge obsession of mine, but I'm not going to be talking about them here because we got too much to talk about in terms of Cooperstown. Follow me on Twitter at Sully Baseball if you want to hear some of my Oscar thoughts as well. And at Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram or at Locked On MLB on Twitter or whatever the hell it's called now. And same handle for Instagram. And if you're going to be contacting us via any of those social media sites, make sure to use that hashtag Everyday Sully so I have an idea of who is here every freaking day. Hey, just so you know, today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place a $5 bet. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon to get started. Before we jump headfirst into it is very early in the morning here in Los Angeles. Got to bear with me as I scratch my eyes and nose from time to time. I promise that I will not be an absolute mess today. Let's go over the trivia question. The trivia question that I threw out there was, who was the starting pitcher of the Mets' first ever game when they expanded back in 1962? And evidently, this was a real easy question for Met fans. I was bombarded by Met fans, including Terrence Dunning, who said, "Good morning, Sully. As a hardcore Met fan, I actually know the answer to the trivia question. Roger Craig started it." That's right. Hum Baby. Roger Craig, the late Roger Craig, who's going to be featured in this year's In Memoriam video, which I'm actually already working on. By the way, Terrence Dunning, it's either Durning or Dunning. Terrence Durning, I'm sorry, has one of my favorite typos in here because he called it a trivial question, which is instead of a trivia question. Yes, they're all trivial questions. John Murphy Jr. Wrote Roger Craig and a couple other people. Hatstro's McGee basically accused John Murphy Jr. of looking that up. I know John Murphy Jr. well enough. He probably knows that. It's probably right at the tip of his tongue. Hatstro's McGee, by the way, thanks for being an Everyday Sully. He pointed out that I was late on my Hader episode for the Astros signing Josh Hader, that I did that episode on Sunday and not Saturday. I beg for your forgiveness for taking Saturday off. And a couple other people wrote that they completely supported the idea of having the platinum subscription fee or the premium subscription fee, whatever we're going to call it, on MLB, the MLB app. We're willing to pay to have all the games in one spot. You know, we're not asking for stuff for free. I don't think artists should get, you know, you shouldn't ask artists to give you stuff for free. And if I want that entertainment of 162 games plus any playoff games and everything on one spot, all I gotta do is click. I'm willing to pay. It's worth it. When if I talk to my mom who wants to watch the Giants game on a Friday night and she calls and say, "We can't find the Giants game," and I have to say that sentence that every baseball fan dreads to say, which is the games on Apple Plus, Apple TV. Nobody has ever said, oh, good, it's on Apple TV. Not one human being has ever said that. And if I could just say, don't worry, the game's on Apple TV, but it's still there on the app. Granted, you won't be able to get Crook and Kite doing the announcing, but let's just get it done. Hey, another thing's going to get done. This is one of the big moments of the year. Actually, two of my favorite moments of the year happen on the same day, which is the Oscar nominations and the Hall of Fame announcement. But you know, we're only going to talk about one of them here. Let's just talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame predictions. Who's going to get into the Hall of Fame? And I'm going to break this down. I initially was going to do this all as one big episode where I was going to do my predictions, and then the final part of the show, you'll see my actual reactions. But I figured, no. I'm going to do my actual predictions now, and then later this afternoon, I'm going to do a second episode today. So there you go. So let's do the first part, which is the projections of who I think is going to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Who's going to be elected to the Hall of Fame today? Sorry, I had to get my notes up here for a second. Now, there's one that is new on the ballot, which he has to be in. He has to be in, and that's Adrian Beltre. Adrian Beltre, 3,000 hits, tons of home runs, gold glove fielder at third base. He's one of the great all-time third basemen in baseball history. He is a lock to be in the Hall of Fame. It will be a joyous occasion when he's in. Adrian Beltre is one of those players that if you watched play, you couldn't help but smile. You couldn't help but feel good about yourself when you watched him play. So Adrian Beltre is absolutely going to be in. That is the biggest lock of them all. And with that, with Adrian Beltre undoubtedly being in the Hall of Fame, he is joining a unique fraternity that right off the top of my head includes Mike Piazza and Pedro Martinez, which are products of the Dodger farm system, who came up as Dodgers, had success as a Dodger, who became Hall of Famers elsewhere. When you think of Adrian Beltre, chances are the first team you think about is the Texas Rangers. If you think about Pedro Martinez, you're going to be thinking of the Boston Red Sox. If you're looking at Mike Piazza, you're probably going to be thinking of the New York Mets. Those three should have been Hall of Famers for the Dodgers for their whole career. But alas, that didn't happen. It's tough to feel. Maybe that's why the Dodgers are gobbling up all these future Hall of Famers now, because they want to have a few more people with the LA on their caps getting into the Hall of Fame. Joe Mauer is on the ballot. He is one of the best hitting catchers of all time. MVP, terrific all-around hitter, especially the position of catcher. And you know, great story, you know, grew up loving the Twins, lifelong Twin. And he's probably going to get in. I think he's probably going to get in. Todd Helton had a great show of it the last bunch of ballots. And some people have detracted his career because he's he played all those years in Coors Field. He's still a tremendous player. And if you look at his splits, he was a great player no matter where he was. So I think those three are close to surefire bets, and I do think all three are going to get in. Gary Sheffield and Billy Wagner are the two that are kind of on the cusp. Sheffield has some Balco baggage. I'll get to that in the second segment. Billy Wagner has, it's not fair to Billy Wagner in one sense that he doesn't have that great closer moments the way that Rivera, the way that, Raleigh Fingers, and the way that Bruce Sutter and Dennis Eckersley and Rich Gossage all had. But neither did Trevor Hoffman, for that matter. In fact, Trevor Hoffman's main moments in the shining in the big moment is blowing saves in the playoffs and World Series. Billy Wagner never got into the World Series. That wasn't his fault. If Carlos Beltran took that bat off his shoulder and took a cut at that curveball thrown by Adam Wainwright, chances are the Mets go to the World Series, and who knows, maybe the Mets have a World Series title in there. I think that Wagner is going to get in. I don't think Gary Sheffield is going to be in. There are some other ones, Chase Utley, Carlos Beltran, Andrew Jones, that are still floating around out there, and of course the ones with the steroid baggage. But I think four, my prediction is four will get in. Helton, Wagner, Beltre, Helton, Maurer, and Wagner. And I think Gary Sheffield will be on the outside looking in. Those are my predictions. I think those four are going to be joining Jim Leland on the Hall of Fame stage. Now, here comes the question. Who do I want to be in? What players do I want to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame? Well, guess what? We're going to be talking about that when we come back, and we're going to be seeing if I had a ballot and I don't, who would be in there? Let's talk a little bit about our friends at eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. What brings home the winning trophy is also what brings your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance, from superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to turn your car into the MVP and bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. And as always, exclusions apply. Hey, there's a quick reminder that Locked On has begun the first ever national 24/7 streaming channel for sports on YouTube. Locked On Sports Today is there for you 24/7, covering the top sports stories of the day with local experts of Locked On, plus our national shows covering every league. Go to Locked On Sports Today on YouTube and subscribe to the first ever national sports 24 streaming channel. Okay, I want to say one thing right now. I am what you would call a big haul guy. I think that while I'm not quite at the level that my dear friend and author Richie Duncan is, which is if you're famous, you're in, but I want to have as many players in the Hall of Fame who I think are worthy of it in there, because it helps tell the tapestry and the story of the sport. And I am very lenient on things like PED use. I'm lenient on, you know, huge peaks as opposed to longevity. And I think that I want to root for the players that had a huge impact on the game. Now, if you are accused of something, some awful crime, not a cheating crime, not a and not a gambling crime, which I'll get to that in a later part of this segment or reiterate something. But if you are doing something which is, if you've been accused or convicted of something off the field, that does mar your eligibility, in my opinion. Remember, this is subjective. Like the Oscars, these are subjective. But if I had a Hall of Fame ballot, I would have a pretty crowded ballot. My ballot, I would include Gary Sheffield. I would include Joe Maurer. I would include Billy Wagner. I would include Todd Helton. And I would include Adrian Beltre. All five of those players I want in the Hall of Fame, I need in the Hall of Fame. Okay? Those are five Hall of Famers. And yes, I know Gary Sheffield has some Balco baggage, but there are other players who are currently in the Hall of Fame who have more than baggage. Okay? They have baggage that's like Kate Winslet's baggage going on to the Titanic, which means I am all for A-Rod in the Hall of Fame. I do not understand the argument against A-Rod in the Hall of Fame. He took roids. Yeah. So did Ivan Rodriguez. who has all the Balco baggage as well. We know that Big Poppy did something, okay? And there's enough that make you scratch your chin going, huh, Jeff Bagwell, super skinny kid with no power, best friends with Ken Caminiti. Next thing you know, he shows up looking like Shrek, all right? And mind you, I think Jeff Bagwell belongs in the Hall of Fame. I think Big Poppy belongs in the Hall of Fame. I think Pudge Rodriguez belongs in the Hall of Fame. Okay, but I think the ship has sailed in terms of, well, they did PEDs, and I don't know about that. I do. Whether or not, now, would A-Rod have hit 697 home runs or whatever his total was? Would it be more like 500 home runs? Okay, maybe, but he still would have been an elite Hall of Fame caliber player no matter what. And say it with me, he's the greatest third baseman in the history of the New York Yankees. He belongs in the Hall of Fame. Manny Ramirez belongs in the Hall of Fame. Did he use steroids? Yeah. I think that's what he was doing when he walked into the left field wall at Fenway Park. I want Manny and Ortiz in the Hall of Fame together. I want to hear Manny Ramirez's Hall of Fame speech. By the way, I heard an interview with the late Bob Gibson. He's one of the people who, people of the generation older than me, basically think should be canonized and are the people you point to. Like, well, Bob Gibson did this right, Bob Gibson did that right. He said flat out in an interview, he said, I'd like to think I wouldn't take PEDs, but if I found out someone was using it against me, I would want to get as big an edge as I possibly could. Of course, this is the most competitive guy in the history of baseball. He pitched when Roberto Clemente hit a line drive off his leg. Turns out he had a fracture in his leg and he kept pitching. You don't think he would have taken a roid or two? Mike Schmidt has said the same thing. So let's not get sanctimonious about this. And also, do you know what? They didn't play in the era of Duke Snider and Willie Mays or Roberto Clemente and Tom Seaver. They played in their era. And in their era, A-Rod and Manny Ramirez and Gary Sheffield, for that matter, look at his stats, were the players who were the elite players, kind of sort of like Big Poppy. Again, marginal prospect, turns into a Hall of Famer right around the same time his head got huge and his teeth started separating. I think it's insane that Bonds is not in the Hall of Fame. Clemens, he'll get into the Hall of Fame. Bonds will get in the Hall of Fame based on Veterans Committee at some point, unless we find out more about Roger Clemens, which the more we're learning about Roger Clemens is making me go, yikes. Carlos Beltran is on the ballot. Why? Let's put him in. Beltran is a great player. He was a great player for, he had the longevity. He had some phenomenal peaks, but he also was a great player for a very long period of time. And I put him in there. And if you want to throw Chase in, if I have two more spots on my ballot, I have no problem putting Chase Utley in the Hall of Fame. And I have no problem putting Andruw Jones in the Hall of Fame. I understand they're more of the fringe candidates, and they're more of the ones who are kind of on the bubble. And so I understand why they don't have the no doubt candidacy that an Adrian Beltre has, okay? Or that Joe Mauer should, or that A-Rod should, for that matter. But I understand why. I hope that I do not think Andruw Jones nor Chase Utley are getting in. I don't think they have a chance this year. But I do hope they stay on the ballot so that their candidacy can be debated and can be analyzed. But we were also seeing kind of the end, you know, with A-Rod and Sheffield and Ramirez are kind of the finale of the lunacy of the fact that we had some of the all-time great players in baseball history not being elected because of the PED cloud, and seeing the ballot be so crowded that some of the players who should have had, you know, a stronger debate about fell off the ballot, or some of them got elected in because they were just – people are trying to avoid some of the big names on there. And I'll say this now, and I'll say it again. Pete Rose's name is going to come up. It comes up every year. Keep in mind this. The man does not want to be in the Hall of Fame. Because his name comes up, and I'm just getting ahead of the curve here. I've made this point before. If he's in the Hall of Fame, then his story's over. He gets more attention being a martyr. He wants that attention. And he wants people to have the big debate. He doesn't want to be in the Hall of Fame. If he's in the Hall of Fame, the next time he's in the news is when someone's dead, when he's dead. So let's take him out of the equation. I'm just getting ahead of the curve. Maybe I'm being a hypocrite by pointing that out, but hey, I have to do it because every year it comes up again. So I think that Maurer, Wagner, Helton, and Beltre, I think four getting in, and I have the 10 that I would vote for, but I'm really banging the drum for A-Rod and Sheffield, even though I know it's not going to happen. Hey, another reminder that Locked On has the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel on YouTube. Locked On Sports Today is here for you 24/7, covering the top sports stories of the day with local experts of Locked On, plus national shows covering every league. Go to Locked On Sports Today on YouTube and subscribe to the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel. One more thing I'm going to talk about today, just briefly. And it's something I'm just now learning about. So I don't have all the facts in front of me. I don't think anybody has all the facts in front of them. But what is surreal is the A's stadium situation going beyond 2024. I have my tickets for the final A's game of this year, because if that's their final, and that they think it's a pretty sure bet, you can go to FanDuel and bet that this is their last game, their last season in Oakland. So I'm going to be there for the last game, and it's a day game. It's a Wednesday game. So it may just be me. It may really just be me. But the A's are going to have to find a new home because there's no ballpark in Las Vegas. And it would make zero sense for them to play in the minor league stadium, to put a subpar 100-loss team with minor leaguers in a minor league stadium and say, hey, Las Vegas, you're now a major league team. You don't get a second chance at a first impression, and that would be a grotesque first impression. And so that's when the talk of all these other places possibly being having them play, and that it looks like to me, and I think anyone looking at it, Sacramento seems to be, while not a, there's no optimal situation here, Sacramento seems to be the smartest thing. It's in Northern California. Some A's fans will probably take the journey there. It's a large enough city that will get some attention. It's not a great situation, but it's something. And so I was going to say, you know, it's probably, you know, I would say, well, maybe they should audition Nashville and Raleigh or Charlotte or Portland and sort of play their games there to sort of demonstrate whether or not those teams could support a team. But in the back of my head, I thought, it's going to be Sacramento. And I thought to myself, how cool would it be if they won the World Series in Sacramento? And you could sort of see, you know, Sacramento AL versus Los Angeles NL. Yeah, I'm picking the Dodgers to lose the World Series. But an interesting thing is, as Salt Lake City has come up as a possible landing spot, and the home of their minor league team there is a 14,000 seat stadium, which with a little bit of adjustment here and a little tweak there with the beautiful views of the mountains and everything, that you could have probably expanded to 20,000 without that much effort, and it being a decent ballpark, it's like, okay, if it's not Sacramento, then perhaps Salt Lake City. But the interesting thing is, and this is according to press releases from the organizations that are trying to lure a major league team to Salt Lake City, is that the A's are looking at a stadium in Utah as a temporary place, but it would not be the stadium that their minor league team is playing in, but it's a new ballpark in downtown Daybreak, which is about 30 miles south of Salt Lake City. The Salt Lake Bees play currently at a stadium in the city of Salt Lake City, but there's a new community, the Daybreak community, which is they're going to have a new minor league ballpark for the Bees, but have a new, you know, basically they're trying to build up what the Atlanta Braves have built up for Truist Stadium outside of Atlanta. And there's kind of, you know, homes, restaurants, businesses, corporate offices, and a stadium smack dab in the middle of it. So they're not looking at the 14,000 seat stadium in downtown Salt Lake City. They're looking at a brand new stadium, which isn't even finished yet, to be christened as a major league ballpark, to christen it as the home of the A's, as the home of the Salt Lake A's, as they wait to go to Vegas. And boy, as I said, what a strange, you can't find two cities that have more of a different personality in terms of pious, good Salt Lake City and sinful anything goes Las Vegas. No one ever says what happens in Salt Lake City stays in Salt Lake City. Mind you, I'm putting absolutely zero judgment. I don't care what your religion is, and I don't care if you gamble. But if you do, please use FanDuel. But it's interesting that, because everything I was reading, I was like, wow, that's a 14,000-seat stadium. Salt Lake City is a pretty big city, blah, 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 blah. No. They want to break ground and open the doors for this new stadium, which hasn't been played in yet. And according to the releases from Big League Utah and confirmed by the A's, they're not even looking at the downtown Salt Lake City stadium. They're looking at the brand new stadium in Daybreak. So the plot thickens. I still think Sacramento is the best place, but they're clearly visiting. They're officially visiting, and they're not there to ski or to see a Jazz game or to listen to jazz for that matter. So we're going to see what happens. This A's story keeps getting more and more complex, and we'll definitely see it. But you'll see me later today, because I'm going to do another show after we learn the Cooperstown results. So we'll see how my predictions and what I want will go against reality. I do think we're going to see four in there. They'll be joining Jim Leland on the stage. And let's go, because it's Oscar nomination day, I'm going to bring this up. There have been several films, this is our trivia question, there have been several films that have been nominated for Best Picture that have been baseball-oriented. The big ones will be including films like Field of Dreams, Moneyball, and Pride of the Yankees. What is the only baseball film to have won an Academy Award? None of them have won Best Picture, but who's the only baseball film to have won an Academy Award? That's my trivia question. I get to merge my baseball and Oscar love in one fell swoop. So go to Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter or on Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Make sure to subscribe here on YouTube. Making my predictions, letting my feelings known about the Hall of Fame vote and wondering what the heck is going on with the A's in Salt Lake City. This has been Locked On MLB, the first one I'm dropping on the 23rd of January, 2024. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.